went back and forth over this word for really a few days. And then after talking to Sister Sheila this morning, I started just truly delete it all the way. But then with Mother, Pastor Scott calling me this morning and saying allow God to have his way. So I had to change my thoughts, my feelings, and my opinions, because none of them counts for so much at certain times. And I don't know why I'm struggling with this word. Trust me. And it's more or less first for me. Because anytime we give God's word, it's for ourselves first. Anytime we dance a praise dance, the song's supposed to convict you first before you present it to God's people or before you presented it to the worldly people. If it doesn't convict your spirit first and it just feels nice or sounds nice, get rid of it, because it's not going to do any good to someone that's lost and trying to find his way. Hallelujah. If I get up here and try to preach God's word and it's not doing something for Tammy, then it's no good. I'm going to read first from John 5, 6. John 5, 6. And trust me, I'm going to be going a little bit over the map, all over. But whatever I use to identify with what I'm talking about, you already know. Praise God. And if you don't know, call me later. And better than that, talk to your pastors and your ministers. Okay? I don't look at IDs, caller IDs, so I leave my number. Praise God. John 5, 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in this case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. I'm coming from... God is good. Stop the excuses. We just got to stop the excuses. The man was asked, "Will you be made whole?" Jesus didn't ask him anything else except for, "Will you be made whole?" Now I got a question very quick. Have you ever been in a situation or someone came to you with a problem of urgency and you sat down and you listened to them? And then you try to answer them, not by your opinion or if I was in your shoes, because we'll never be in another man's shoes. We can't walk it. Don't even think about it. And once you've done all you can to get out of your spirit what you think thus said God to tell these or that individual, and you know you're on the right track because God has led you to what to say. And as soon as you finish talking to the individual, they come back at you, but with an excuse. And you sit there wondering with your own sanctified mind, why did you come to me in the first place? If you already had it all together, why come to me in the first place? Because see, sometimes we're going through something, we expect a little pity party. But you're not going to grow if we're expecting someone to pat me on the back and make me feel good. Because see, God's word is not there to make you feel good. When Jesus come and asks you something or tell you to do something or go somewhere, he's not trying to make you comfortable. You see, sometimes God has put us in very uncomfortable positions and situations. He told Moses to what? Go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now see, sometimes we get hung up on our own emotions or what maybe we have done somewhere before God speaks to us and tell us to go. Because sometimes we maybe hang on to a little bit of shame. What would this person say? What would they think of me if I go and tell them, God sent me to tell you something? Now we start making up excuses like Moses did. I have a speech problem. I can't speak well. But see, God didn't ask Moses what was his condition as far as could he speak, could he talk, could he walk, could he lean. God said, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But see, God dealt with this excuse, but he didn't have to deal with the excuse. He told him, I'll send Aaron with you, because he can speak well. But not because God wanted Moses to lean or hang on his brother. He wanted him to go. That's when it gets to the point, we have to stop some excuses. When Jesus came to this man lying there for years, not being able to get in the water when it was trouble, or when the angels of the Lord came down and stirred up the water, the first one in the pool got healed, regardless of what infirmity that they might have had, they was healed. Now we got to listen sometimes to what God said. Because see, it's a way in and out of anything. Because I started trying to use my own sanctified mind with, I'm laying here for 38 years in this condition that I'm in. Now everybody with some kind of infirmity is getting into that water. You know, they're getting into that pool when it's gone. I don't care how sometimes we have to get where we need to go, as long as we depend and trust in God to get us there. Amen. Now, we are not saying to go out here and do something you don't supposed to be doing, because now you have made your own decision and you would have to deal with that with you and God and the law. But if somebody is in a situation or condition, 38 long years, and when the man of God, God's son himself, come and ask you, will you be made whole? Or ask you, are you ready, hallelujah, for the land that I'm giving you? Are you ready? He's not asking you something that he has not already prepared. It was already prepared a long, long time ago, Jeremiah 1:5 says. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God ordained God's miracle church to be what it is today. But see, he ordained it to be what it was supposed to be long time before they was even created. Before they was born, God had set aside for a time like this. And there was no excuses. I was sitting there talking to Sister Sheila today. That's why I think that helped me to try to turn all the way around what I wanted to preach. I said, God, I don't think I need to be doing this. Lord, tell me something else. Give me something else. But listening to her, some came, some went. Some is here watching the manifestation of what God is about to do. But see, we got to get to the point, if I want to walk away and leave God's miracle church, I don't need an excuse. An excuse is going to follow you. Not just this church, the next church, the next church. We have to learn to stop our excuses. Go with the flow. Go with God. If it looks good, you done prayed on it and God said, this is where I'm sending you. Hang in there. Hold on. That man at the pool, when someone came close enough for me to have grabbed his leg, his ankle, his toe, his garment. I was going to be allowed to drag my broken, crippled, paralyzed body into that pool and be made whole. 38 years to be in the same situation and predicament we are in? No. We get comfortable sometimes in this comfort zone of where I am. This is where I'm supposed to be. I can't go any further. I can't see myself going any further. We'll never see ourselves going anywhere. But we can see God sending and pushing us in the direction he wants us to go. We got to see God. Stop seeing this old self, this old body, this old flesh. God has a plan for each of us. And it doesn't build up, start with, or end with, I can't. Hey. Hey. Neither. If God got a plan, go for it. No excuses. Need excuses somewhere else. Because the Bible does not actually say the handicap of this man. But it does say he had it for 38 long years. It could have been 1 year that was long, but 38 years this man suffered and dealt with. But I would like to think with my own mind, as I just said, I'm going to grab on to you. I'm going to hold on. You know, if I feel that you're going in the right direction in my mind, which is the playground of Satan. So we got to realize Satan can play with this old mind. And if I ever preach, you'll hear me saying it over and over and hear again. Our playground becomes the swing, the sliding board, the sandbox, the monkey bar. Yeah. Because Satan puts you on each one of these little rides in your mind. And he can do whatever he chooses to do with it. Because our minds is a battlefield. The battlefield of mind. So Satan will get you to knowing you're going to go forward because God got a plan. And he started putting in your mind, what if? What if? See, now these what ifs lines up with what? We get the excuses going. Okay? It doesn't matter with what if. If God said it, do it. Because God ain't worrying about your what if. God ain't worrying about where you've been. He already know where you've been. He already know where I've been. But it's where he wants me to go that matters now. You know, I always have excuses for God. I used to go to Pastor Scott's building up on Hall Street or anywhere they be, and she prays with me, but I always had excuses. You know, I wanted to dance. I knew God was telling me to go dance. I was like, but I can't dance. I can't. Mama Scott said, yes, you can. And she prayed over me many years ago. I'm coming up with different situations. We sit there and she prayed with me. Prayer works. It works. Don't let no one say, because you've been here and you was there and you was there and I remember when. Because see, now those excuses ain't yours anymore. It's someone else trying to put it on you. Don't let man stop you from doing anything that thus said the Lord. We know where we've been. When someone said, I remember when, this is what your big opportunity to shine, to glow. Glow. You remember when? I remember too. This is your time to glow. Come on now. You could be the Cracker Jacks, the prize in the box, the pickles, the chips. You could be all that in one. Because this is your time to shine. I remember when. I don't need no excuse. I don't need to try to make you understand why I'm where I'm at now. Because you remember when I really wanted nightclubs because I was just bored. I slept there. I was sleepy. I would try to do it. I go to sleep. I get my little corn. I go to sleep. I couldn't dance. So I couldn't say I was at the nightclubs really dancing because everybody always said I danced like a white girl. So I can't say I remember when I was in dance club dancing because I was too embarrassed. I can't use that as an excuse. But I went to Mother Scott and I said, I think I want to start dancing, but I can't dance. No, I could not. But when God took this body and done what he wanted to do with it, I can praise, dance all night. You see, I can praise, dance. I can do a little bit of shouting. I can do all that stuff. I remember when I tried to do the other things and it just not, it didn't, could, it wouldn't connect. It just wouldn't connect. So I remember, don't let nobody bring up your past to predict your future. Come on, let's stand. Look at that foolishness. Hallelujah. And that's when I was saying, I'm going to hold on to someone for dear life. I might get walked on, stepped on, but I will be holding on to them. I got to get, we have to get in the position that we can get where we need to go. Let nothing or no one hinder you. No excuses. And don't lay in bed at night losing your sleep because Satan is bringing back. What if someone did? What if someone found out where I really been? What if somebody found out what I really done? Those excuses that Satan is playing on you for your future. You didn't get saved today to deal with yesterday. God said, I take all this stuff and I throw it in the sea of forgiveness. He's not going to bring it back. No excuses. Don't you bring back yesterday into your life. Don't you bring back last night into your life. Because apparently you're in the right place today. People tell you quick, I don't go into the church because all those people in the church doing the same thing I'm doing. All the people in the church sinning too. And I've been told that many times, just ministering in the street. But I have one word for them that gives me a chance to glow. Amen. Yes, they have. Yes, some is true. But they know where to go. They know where I can get saved, where I can get healed. See, outside that door, you can, and not receiving and not choosing to receive Christ, you can only go straight to hell. No excuse. I don't care what I did, we did, they did, or what they're doing. You're in the right place. Amen. You're in the right place. It said, a good man can fall down. How many times? But what happens? He gets back up. He don't look back and start coming up with it. The word doesn't say it anyway. The excuse why I fail. We trip sometimes and we're hoping nobody saw it. We look back. Anybody saw me? But we don't see what was there to make us trip. And that's how God works with us. He don't let us actually get hurt. He picks us up. We learn that we got to pick each other up. No excuses. If I see something not right, talk to the person, tell me. Not saying I'm really listening all the time. You know, I'm going to end up falling down again and God's going to be picking me up. So we're not perfect being, we'll never be. Because if you get perfect on this earth, you're no more use here. God going to take you away, a man going to try, but God is going to take you. He's going to take you home. He's going to take you home. You won't be able to deal with it. People won't be able to deal. If I got perfect just now, praise God. That sounds good, too. But if that happened, I got to go. Y'all be looking at me like, what do? And you know me. You love me. You're my family. But something just happened to change my everything. Because it's the glory of God that just shines. When Moses was walking and was at that burning bush, he wanted to see God. And God told him, you can't. I'm going to walk by you. Just watch the shadow as I walk by. Because see, the glow is so much. It's so powerful. You are tired. No man has saw God and lived. So we get to be that perfect being. And we're not making mistakes anymore. We're not falling. We're not. Anything, it's time to go. You're out of here. Not saying keep on sitting because you ain't ready to go. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when we get to the point that we're where we need to be in Christ, he's going to sweep us up. We're gone. And it's a good thing. But the thing is, Jesus could have put the man in the pool. Or he could have just walked by him. He would have been healed. Or he didn't have to do anything. From wherever he was, this man could have been healed. But Jesus wanted to know, did you want to be healed? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to rise up from where you are to get somewhere else? Are you willing? Are you ready? He's not asking for any perfect people. But he's asking for those that call upon his name to go out here and work out there. It's a lot of work to be done. And God needs us out there to do it for him. So we got to keep our physical bodies, this vessel that God has invested in us. We got to be ready. Because if Christ comes tonight and we're not ready, I don't care how, I don't want to get caught in a situation or a place that I would not be saved. Now, we don't lose our salvation. Once saved, always saved. But we can lose dimensions of the glory of what God got for you. We don't want to be like the 10 wise virgins. One wasn't. Or was it 10? I'm going to get some more. 5. And the 5 was foolish. Or was 10? Not, well, as I was putting it, praise God. But see, when the groom came, they was left. They had no oil. And what was their excuses? They didn't know he was coming that soon. But we know he's coming. So we got to live each day, each second, be ready. Don't be caught in any place, shape, form that we know we should not be in. Because it could be our last. It could be the last day. We don't want that to happen. And my mind is keep on going back, you know, as I was going back to talking to my sister. That's why I'm not really into what I thought. I'm into as the Holy Spirit leads me. You see, because if we go back a little further, you know, we can look at so many people in God's word that has made excuses when God told them to do something or send them somewhere they didn't want to go. Jonah didn't want the people saved. He wanted them dead. Ain't no easy way. He wanted them dead, but God kept on dealing with him. But look at all the tribulations he had to go through. We can say trials, either one you like. Until God, they had to put him back in the beginning to do what I said do. The people, you're going to do what I said. You know, go and do what God says willingly. You know, the whale didn't want him in his belly. You know, just sin for rebellious. You can't digest that. Even the whale couldn't digest rebellion. You running for God? You're running from God? The sailors on the ship didn't need him because you messing up the rock, the flow. Something going on. Something is wrong on this ship. Or this boat. So they didn't want him. The whale didn't want him. But God still tried to use him to get his job done. He would go to the extreme to get his job done, to get a soul saved. You know, Jonah's excuse, I don't even know what his excuse is. Well, he just didn't want the people saved. But the work was done. Although it was done, he still was angry and mad. God will catch us and call us and pull us in whatever situation or shape will allow him. He will use you if he wants to, but he don't have to. He don't have to use any of us. Noah. He asked Noah to do what? He asked him to build an ark. Noah out there, faithful man, children, wife. But can you imagine years and years, Noah out there building this ark. Come on, God's Miracle Church. Come on. You've been building the ark by faith. And you didn't turn back. You continue to trust in God. Noah built the ark, although laughter was there. Laughter's been here. But Noah kept what? Building the ark. Don't expect the world to see your vision if it's not already in their hearts. How can I walk with you unless I agree? I can make up so many excuses to pull you back, to hold up God's gifts. No. Noah kept building. They couldn't see it because what? They never saw rain. I can't see this person out here. Someone used a fool earlier. I don't know who used that word. I think one of my sisters. No, it wasn't I. But God did not have the time for the foolishness. And Noah kept on building, kept on building, kept on building. People walking around laughing. Ha, ha, ha. What are you doing? He was doing what God said. And he kept on building, he kept on building, he kept on building. Until it was time to go in. When that flood was about to come, it was time to go in. Now everybody wanted to go in. It doesn't work that way. Don't come and feast if you've done nothing for the preparation. The king found that out, didn't he? He didn't make any and all banquets that he chose to make. Everybody got things to do. Excuses, excuses. They can't make it. Then he said, what? Go out on the highways and the byways. Bring them in. Well, it should have been done that way anyway, as far as I'm concerned. But we got to realize what God has for us, nothing can stop it. Excuses, let them go. Don't allow Satan to play with you. Don't lose your rest because of something you might have done, you might have said, you might have thought, you might be doing. Don't lose your rest. Give it up and give it to God. God said, I got it. But he said, if you give it to me, don't take it back. I can't help you. Years ago, they had a thing called Something for Jesus to Do box. Jesus said, good morning, I'm God. I'm sorry. Good morning, I'm God. I'm here to handle all your problems and your situations today. But if you think you can handle them, then you do so. But if you give them to me, don't take them back. You only delay the process of me working on them. But if you run through a situation that you think you can handle, consult me first, that I can try to keep you in the right direction. Something for Jesus to do. If we let Jesus do what needs to be done, we have a better, quiet, peaceful walk, talk with God. Not all things is the way we want it. Nor would it be. But we can have peace and paradise right here for the moment. But we, like Sister Sheila was saying, it's a gift. Everything we have here is a gift. It's a moment temporarily. It's a gift from God because he knows what we have need of. He knows what we stand in need of. So everything he gives us is a gift temporarily. No excuses. That's all I got to say.